Hello, everybody. It is my pleasure to be here to talk about a few of the tools that I have been using in one of the courses I teach at the University of Florida. This time, I'll be talking about using text mining as a tool to gain insight into how students feel about active learning exercises in my course. So as we all know, experiential learning is a method of teaching that emphasizes experience as the keystone in starting the knowledge acquisition process for students. This is something that we all know, and as horticulturists, we have as a discipline embraced. So we have many courses that actually have many of the elements of experiential learning incorporated into them. However, many faculty surveys show time after time that lecturing continues to be the main form of instruction. And even though as instructors, we know that experiential learning leads to better student outcomes and also to better student satisfaction with regard to our courses, we are, of course, bound by the time we have, faculty commitments, and also availability of resources. So one of the ideas that I had about teaching a course with experiential learning was to be able to assess which of the activities, which of all the things that I could do in a protected agriculture course are actually effectual, are leading into greater student satisfaction, and how do students feel about participating in these activities. We used as a scenario for this particular teaching intervention a course at the University of Florida called Greenhouse and Protected Agriculture. This is a course that is an elective in the Horticultural Sciences program. It is also elective for the Plant Science program in our institution. And in general, the course focuses on the principles and practices of crop production in protected structures. So we, of course, talk about structure types, media fertilization, as well as many of the pest and fertilization practices. In this course, we had 7 different focused activities. We have a semester-long practicum where the students are actually growing crops and harvesting them. But in order to narrow down how the students perceive what we are doing, we focus on 5 faculty-led activities, which I will be referring to as activities 1 through 5. The first activity consisted in bending hoops and installing them to construct load tunnels for the student farms. The second activity was focused on freeze protection, and this was happening on the day when we expected overnight temperatures to drop below freezing. And when I give this type of talks on national conferences, yes, in fact, it freezes overnight in Florida sometimes, so we had to be ready for it. And also, of course, we want our students to be ready for it, for their careers may take them elsewhere. Activity number 3, also very much in the spirit of Florida horticulture. A few weeks after you have expected overnight lows, you start getting excessively hot, much more traditionally. So we also install shade over hoop houses. And activities 4 and 5 are opportunities for the students to work as the farm manager, doing a daily checkup of all the crops we have on the farm for activity 4, and maintaining the quality of the hydroponic solutions for the student hydroponic systems on activity 5. After each of these activities, in the learning management system, which is in common with what many of the educators in the room have used, Canvas, the students received a prompt. In this prompt, we asked them for about a 200-word reflection on what they learned on the activity, what worked, what didn't, and how they see this fitting in the context of their education. The students knew from the get-go that these reflective essays were going to be graded on completion. So one of the first questions I was hoping to answer was, essentially, what were my students going to write? Because the LMS immediately gave them a full score, so long as they provided a single word into the answer box. With the results, with the essays that the students submitted, we then started with this idea of text mining. Now, what is text mining? Text mining is nothing other than extracting data out of text that is not intended to provide you that data. So unlike surveys and other methods that actually focus the responses into certain categories, what we're doing here is trying to mine data out of essentially written language. This is something that is being done commonplace. It is how a lot of the social media ads you see come about. It's a lot of what your Google searches inform what you're seeing on the web. So this is a practice that is now commonplace for a lot of online businesses. Yet somehow it hasn't yet permeated very well into education, even though we are constantly generating text data when you think about it. Student surveys, student evaluations, assignments, all of those are very rich in information, and we're only now scraping the surface into actually gauging what this is revealing about our activities. And this is, of course, going to be a much more nuanced perception that we can gather beyond what a simple survey can get us. So what we did here is we de-identified those texts because we didn't want to, we didn't want to read what worked and what didn't and be able to associate this with students. We did all this according to the IRB protocol. We also compiled a very basic demographic data from the students, so their class standing, gender, and major, because those were some of the main variables we were interested in testing. From this de-identified texts, we went ahead and transformed the text, and this is done with standard software. We used R, which is a free software, and TidyText was the package we used to tokenize the data. The idea of tokenizing the data is that now, instead of having a very long chunk of text, you're going to break that apart into single words. You can break it apart into bigrams, which are groups of two words, or trigrams, as big as you want them, really. So tokenizing the data allows us to simply be able to manage it, to use it more efficiently. As you can imagine, for a lot of language, both written and oral, we have a lot of words that truly don't have a lot of meaning. Those grammatical words like and, da, in, for, are essentially very, very common, but they're not going to convey a lot of meaning. So we remove those common words, or stop words, as the software calls them. Now we had simply a body of text that we knew had words that could be informative, could let us know how the students are perceiving the activities, what they're learning, how they are learning. So what we did next is the idea of the sentiment analysis, which is nothing other than a mathematical operation where you're crossing and finding the intersection between the student responses and previously created word banks, also called lexicons. So we used three general interest lexica, the emotional lexica by NRC, and also the AFIN and Bing lexica, which are general opinion lexica. These are nothing other than banks of words where, for example, the mathematicians or modelers have taken the time to figure out that when you say something was very good, that could be a score of plus 5. When you said something was good, it could be a score of 3. When you say something is regular, it could be a score of 2. Only that this, of course, has thousands of different words and spans across all the English language. These are general interest lexica, and this is going to come back towards the end, because that offers some strengths and weaknesses in terms of the analysis we can carry out. Now, onto our specific experience, we had 37 students in the semester that we run this particular essay. The class was essentially almost evenly split according to gender and major. We had slightly more male than female students, and we had slightly more horticulture students than students in other majors. The students in other majors were majoritarily from the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences, so you can expect some level of exposure to agriculture and maybe even to the topics that the class intends to cover. The course, as it is a level 3000 in our institution, targets mostly juniors and seniors, but we had some sophomores that also took the course, so we see that our split was according to, it was in the last 3 years of the undergraduate class standing. When we went ahead and analyzed the data, again, the first question that I wanted to answer was, what exactly are the students writing about when they know they won't be graded on content? So much to our surprise, the students were a little bit shorter than we expected. The minimum essay we wanted it to be 250 words. The average essay came in to be approximately 209 words. So they were shortchanging me there, but I'm admittedly not surprised. Now, something we did like finding quite a bit was that the essays were topical. When you look, for example, here at the most common trigrams in every single group, you will see that for activity one, the most common trigram is a low tunnel. This is the day when we were actually building the low tunnel. For activity number two, the most common activity is the low tunnel. The second most common, a freeze protection. So we know that they were actually connecting those dots. They were actually driving forward those concepts in what they were writing. For activity three, the shade clock. For activity four, check up on. And for activity five, hydroponic system maintenance. So their students are, in fact, writing about what we were hoping to have them do. Now, for experiential learning, something that is critical is that each student has an individual experience. So you don't learn from the experience of others. That is something that the literature has shown us time and time again. So one of the concerns we had with a course with 37 students was, well, perhaps we were not able to truly kickstart the experiential learning process, because maybe not all of you got to bend hoops. Maybe not all of you were, you know, either pulling, pushing, or doing something different when we were installing the shade house. So it was interesting to see that first-person verbs were among the most frequent trigrams. In 4 of the 5 activities, among the most frequent trigrams, we found things like, in this activity I learned, I participated in, I learned that, I completed, were also many ways in which the students were referring to what they were doing. This led us to believe that they were actually, in fact, having this experience, even though the course at 37 students is a little bit bigger than most of us would like to have, particularly for a course that emphasizes hands-on learning. We moved from there and said, okay, so these are the most common trigrams. There's a lot of idiomatic expressions, right? We had those short phrases there, I completed, I did. Then when we looked at the most important words is really where we started seeing the emergence of the technical terminology. This is where we learned that the students were picking out these technical terms and using them in the context of their language. So here we have, of course, tunnels, freeze, shade, electrical conductivity, maintenance, morning. So those were the terms that emerged as most important when we analyzed the overall body of text that the students provided using the index called TF-IDF, which represents the difference between the total frequency of the word in the text, subtracted minus the inverse difference of that word across all the text, essentially showing us which words are most important, which carry most meaning in the student essays. Then we moved on to the exciting part, and the one that I was actually frightened to see. Did the activities work? Are they learning? Did they enjoy it? So what we did here is we aggregated the sentiments of the students as an overall positive or negative. The positive scores here show the students enjoy the activity and had a positive sentiment about it. The negative show that the students maybe didn't like the activity or there was something that was saliently negative about it. We found that between 74 and 100% of the students had actually positive experiences. We did this, essentially we repeated this with the three general interest lexica, and we saw some differences as is expected from each of these lexica, but altogether we see that every activity was well received by the students. We tested this, of course, to identify if there was a scenario where you are limited by time or resources, which of the activities should you focus your time in? And much to our surprise, activity number two, freeze protection in Florida, was the one that stood out. Nobody had negative experiences with this activity, and we, after close inspection and, of course, reading and trying to understand what the students were presenting there, we believed that it was the sense of purpose that the activity brought in that actually drove the overall liking of the activity. The students knew that, yes, we were outside, yes, it was cold, yes, we were covered in sand because that's agriculture in Florida, but they knew that if we didn't do that on that specific afternoon, we were going to lose all the crops on the farm. So that feeling of purpose truly, we believe, is driving forward the liking of the overall activity. We found no differences between genders, no differences between class standings, and no differences between majors. So we believe that there's truly something metacognitive that's happening here. We're seeing the students being motivated individually to actually perform in the activity. And we believe that this also leads on to better learning outcomes. When we looked more closely at which emotions are bringing about these positive feelings, what we found was that trust, anticipation, and joy are the emotions that the students are most often expressing. What we see here is a radar plot where all eight of the basic sentiment, all eight of the basic human emotions are mapped. There's a lot of theory behind this that is quite frankly beyond what a horticulture educator can explain. But what you will see here is that, for example, on average, there were nearly six trust-related words in every student essay, nearly five anticipation-related words, and nearly five joy-related words. So these were the positive feelings that were driving my overall liking. This is presented for activity number two, since this one was the one that was, you know, most notably liked by the students. But the radar plots of all of them show essentially the same trend, where we see that trust, anticipation, and joy are the main sentiments driving the liking of the activity. And this was a moment of reckoning, because here we're starting to figure out, well, what particularly about a course can lead on to sentiments of trust? And this is where I want to address the fact that the technique is not without its challenges. When we look at the words that were most commonly represented, that were related to trust, we find a fair overlap between the protected agriculture terminology and the general sentiment lexicon. For example, words like protected, cover, structure, ground, those are words that the language indeed associates with feelings of trust, but in the context of protected agriculture, they're nothing other than the students describing what was happening. So we'd rerun the analysis, pulled those words out. Essentially, I went back in and I fished a few of the words that I thought were just obviously protected agriculture. Still, all the scores were positive. Still, activity number two was way better received than all the other activities, showing us that even though there's still this limitation in the general interest lexica, we can actually pull out some of the sentiments and learn about how the students are perceiving the activities in this kind of backdoor way without necessarily doing the surveys. So in conclusion, I can say that the hands-on practicum had a positive impact on student experience. Every activity evoked positive emotions. We also learned that if I had to choose only one activity, using this technique that I have described today, I would focus exclusively on activity number two, which is the activity related to freeze protection. I believe that for a lot of educators, being able to pick which activities are most impactful and to prioritize time and resources towards those activities might bring us closer to having more courses that incorporate experiential learning and make the teaching and also the learning of horticulture better as we go. So with that, I want to wrap up, and I will be glad to take any questions.
And I don't think we have anyone behind us, so questions.
Right. Yes. Thank you. So the question is, how did the formal course evaluation relate to how the students were presenting it? This particular course in this semester were my highest ever evaluations, and I think they reflect all the effort that went towards making these hands-on activities happen. The activities, many of them, were named specifically in the course evaluations, but for this analysis we did not incorporate any of the information in the student evaluation, in that part of our objective was to gauge the student perception from the essays as opposed to from the prompted questions. In addition to that, of course, we know that the formal student evaluation process has many pitfalls, so I didn't want to rely on that data. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.